This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
All right, let's get week 7 rolling. Good morning, everybody. Not a 5 a.m. start time, which I'm happy about. This game not in London, but back at Hard Rock Stadium. You got the Falcons coming in today. They're 2-3. They're coming off their bye week. They beat the New York Jets in London 27-20. And obviously, you all know the Miami Dolphins lost to a team that had lost their 20 previous games. That's right. Miami Dolphins lose in London to the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to talk about that game briefly here in the first segment. We will get to the Deshaun Watson stuff because it did dominate the headlines later in the week when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. And of course, we will preview today's game against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Alejandro Solana. Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. when the Dolphins play at 1. And when the Dolphins play at any other time other than 9:30 in the morning, that's when you can hear the Miami Dolphins Rewind show throughout the season with me, Solana. You can also hear me 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays on Hockman and Crowder. You're going to hear Crowder coming up in about an hour on the Miami Dolphins pregame show. That's Dolphins game day coming up at 9 a.m. And of course, right here on 560 WQAM, you've got your kickoff between the Dolphins and the Falcons coming up at 1 p.m. So, thoughts on the Jaguars game. Again, briefly, I don't want to spend too much time on it because, listen, the truth of the matter is the Miami Dolphins should not be in this position where they're losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was a team, like I just mentioned, and like all of you know, it was a stat that we were all very well aware of, Jacksonville losing their 20 previous tries at football. The last 20 times the Jacksonville Jaguars took the field before London, they lost. And the Dolphins, there's no other way to put it. Just an embarrassing loss in London. And I don't want to put all the blame on, you know, one person or one area, but Brian Flores and the coaching staff, in my opinion, let this team down. Look, Tua comes back after his fractured ribs off the IR, kind of injects some life into this team early on, right? His performance overall in that game was good. I thought was very good. He had the one interception. I understand that it was a pretty errant throw. But other than that one interception, I thought Tua Tagovailoa played a really solid game. It was better than I expected considering the circumstances. And later on in that game, in the most crucial part of the game for the Miami Dolphins, to run the ball with Malcolm Brown on 4th-and-1, again, in that situation, to me indicated that this coaching staff just does not trust Tua Tagovailoa. And again, I don't know if that was Brian Flores' call. Ultimately, it was discussed throughout the week, and he took credit for it. He took the blame, as he always does. I don't know if it was, you know, the offensive coordinators, plural, who made that call. But again, 4th and 1, after Tua's performance throughout the entire game, where, you know, threw for 300-plus yards, he had the 2 touchdowns to Jalen Waddle. It was just a promising outing from Tua Tagovailoa, and not to give him the ball in that position, just really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. And as far as Tua goes, again, I told you, he played very well. Ultimately, he does come up short, and he doesn't win that game. I'm upset with that play call, but at the end of the day, when you look back at that game in a year from now, you don't remember that 4th and 1 call, right? You remember the fact that Tua Tagovailoa could not win that game as the starting quarterback. But I'm not blaming him, right? I don't think anybody's blaming Tua. What I noticed in that loss more than anything, truthfully, is that Tua Tagovailoa is the least of our worries at this very moment. Sure, a lot of you were upset with Justin Herbert, that the Dolphins didn't take him. They took Tua over him, and Justin Herbert has looked great, even though he didn't look great Sunday versus the Baltimore Ravens. But I understand that. You're fixated on Justin Herbert. You're fixated on him being a better quarterback than Tua. Fine, go ahead. But despite that, right now, Tua Tagovailoa is the least of the Miami Dolphins' worries. Because again, other than that interception he threw that was very questionable, he's a second-year player. You expect him to make some mistakes like that at times throughout the season. And he was 33 of 47, 329 yards, 2 touchdowns to Jalen Waddle. He told us this week he was fighting through pain. He did all that fighting through fractured ribs. And truthfully, it's what we wanted to see from him, right? Like I told you, I thought he exceeded my expectations at the very least, where I would have been happy with, you know, a 200-yard game, a couple touchdowns, error-free football from Tua. And yes, we got the one interception, but man, I thought he outperformed what I expected him to do. Now, Jacksonville doesn't kick a field goal or doesn't make a field goal all season long. They make 3 against the Dolphins, the one at the end to win the game. And by the way, the execution there by Jacksonville late in the game, Trevor Lawrence finding, LaVisca Chenault, and him getting down, them taking the timeout, all of that credit to Jacksonville. They did what they had to do to win that game. And we can blame Brian Flores for taking those timeouts, for throwing those challenges. I think that's fine. But ultimately, Urban Meyer, who's been a disaster off the field, we're all well aware of his extracurriculars off the field, but on the field as well, this is a Jacksonville team who hasn't looked good. He's celebrating at the end of the game and outcoached Brian Flores. There's no other way to put it. He outcoached Brian Flores, and that's tough to swallow, truthfully. It is tough to swallow watching Urban Meyer win a football game over somebody who I believe is a much better football coach than Urban Meyer. And let's be real, man. Once you've lost 5 straight, lose to the worst team in the NFL after getting your starting quarterback back in the starting lineup, it's time to look at everybody involved, right? At this point, you know, I know a lot of people are upset at Austin Jackson, who's had a tough year. I know everybody is out on Chris Greer, right? Because it seems like he hasn't hit on any draft pick. No Igbinoghi didn't play well in that game, finally getting his chance. And there was a couple catches over him that led to Jacksonville scores. A lot of you are upset with Tua, right? And I get it. The blame can be placed in several different places. But after that loss, after losing to Jacksonville, you have to put some blame on Brian Flores, not just for that game, but for what we've seen over the past 5 games, over the course of the last 5 games. As much as I've loved Flo and I've advocated for Brian Flores, I've told you I'm sticking with Brian Flores through all of this, and I still believe he can be a very good head coach. Here's the reality you're facing. You're being outscored by 78 points this season. That's the 2nd worst point differential in the NFL. You were 1 forced fumble away in week 1 from being winless. Think about that. If Xavien Howard doesn't make that incredible play versus the New England Patriots in Foxborough, you are winless. This is an offense, still can't move the ball consistently. When you need a big play, when you need a 4th and 1 conversion to go down the field and win the game, can't convert it. Again, terrible play call, in my opinion, to give it a Malcolm Brown. Arguably, season is on the line. And I get it. Chances of Dolphins making the playoffs was slim to none, right? Even if they win that game against Jacksonville. It was the worst team in the NFL. So, in reality, it may not make a difference in the at the end of the season. But you start there. You start with Jacksonville. You start by beating up on a bad team. And to give Malcolm Brown the ball on 4th-and-1 in a position where most likely you lose that game if you don't convert, and that's what ended up happening, ultimately, I just don't get it. It's just so tough for me to understand. And this is a team that seems to have gotten worse week to week. They've regressed week to week. I mean, you can point to the first half versus Tampa Bay if you want, or they don't come out as poorly as they did against Indianapolis. But bottom line, when this team needs to make plays, they can't. They can't. And it's not like I'm calling for Brian Flores to be fired. You know, I want to make it clear I wouldn't do that. I still think he can be a good coach, especially in Miami. I still think he can be a good coach in Miami. But what we've seen thus far this season, especially against the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's embarrassing. There's no other way to put it. It is embarrassing. And I get that the problems are bigger than Brian Flores. They may even be bigger than Chris Greer. Maybe. That's a conversation that could potentially be had as well. But the Dolphins lost to the worst team in the NFL, a team who hadn't won in their last 20 tries. And in large part, it had to do with coaching mistakes made by the guy in charge. So that's where I start with, right there. That's where I start with. Earlier this week, Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel, he was on with Joe Rose. And, you know, they asked him what the biggest problem the Dolphins are facing right now is after losing to Jacksonville. And a lot of what he had to say on the Joe Rose show with Zach Krantz kind of sums up the way I'm feeling about this loss as well.
It's the same problem. And in the last 20 years, it's always, to me, the guy picking the players. He's the most important person in the franchise. Okay, until you get a franchise quarterback, then that guy becomes the most important person in the franchise, okay? But the guy picking the players, Mike Tannenbaum was awful when he was here. Jeff Ireland was awful when he was here. And that's why the regimes keep changing. They can't find that. And the short answer to it all is the quarterback, as we all know. Look at the guys they passed on in the last. They didn't want Lamar Jackson. They didn't want Josh Allen. They didn't want Justin Herbert. And all those guys are, what, top 6, 7 quarterbacks in the league right now. And you know, it adds something that, look, you see what Ryan Tannehill's doing in Tennessee, too, and it tells you it's not just the quarterback. But, you know, the this team is a mess. As I wrote Sunday, this is the worst organization in football again. I mean, the other awful organizations are in the first year of rebuild, the Jets. And the Lions,
yeah,
the Jaguars. This team's in year 3, and Chris Greer's drafting and free agent money has name me the elite players on the team. Name me the guys who are above average even right now.
Again, that's Dave Hyde of the Sun Sentinel on with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz earlier this week on QAM. Just to kind of piggyback on what Dave had to say there. And I say this a lot. You probably, if you listen to this show, I probably sound like a broken record. But look, I'm 27 years old. I was born in 1994. And I didn't really get to appreciate the Dan Marino years. I always make the joke, number 13 is memorable in Miami for Bam Adebayo. If you listen to the Hawk and Crowder show, I make that joke a lot. Obviously, it's tongue-in-cheek. I understand Dan Marino's a legend. It's him and Dwayne Wade, 1A, 1B in this town. Those are the two greatest athletes in Miami sports history. There's no doubt about it. And I understand that. Dan Marino is a legend. I have a number 13 jersey. I have a poster of Dan Marino in my room, despite the fact that, you know, I didn't get to appreciate him and his greatness the way I wish I had. I was just too young by the time I started to really appreciate Dolphins football in the NFL. I didn't get to appreciate the greatness of Don Shula. All I've experienced in my lifetime is 7-9. Playoff losses, mediocre rosters, and expectations that never get fulfilled. And I understand the frustration from all of us fans because I'm living it. 2 decades of this franchise selling us a bag of goods and never coming through with a legitimate winning product. And I'm tired of it just as much as you guys are. And I thought this year was going to be different, and it hasn't been. So again, as much as I love Brian Flores, as much as I bought into what Chris Greer was selling us, this has been, for me, as tough to watch as it has been for all of you out there. And that loss to the Jaguars was kind of the icing on the cake for it all, where it's like this come to moment, hey, we're right back where we were 3 years ago. And it sucks. It really sucks to witness. I'm not giving up, though. You know, I get this season isn't going to end up being a playoff season. And I don't want to do a full hour on this team is going nowhere. I don't want to blast Brian Flores and Chris Greer for this full hour because it's just not fun. And I want to have fun today. Now, how about this? How about a complete 180? And some of you want to be positive. I want to be positive. So how about this? I wrote down some things to be, I guess, optimistic about. I get there aren't many because this team has clearly regressed in year three. But the Dolphins will play 6 of their next 8 games at home at Hard Rock Stadium. They have the 3rd easiest remaining schedule according to ESPN's Football Power Index. They get to play the Jets twice, the Texans, who are maybe the worst team in the NFL, the Panthers, the Giants, and the Patriots again. Those are all winnable games if this team, right? Again, I'm trying to be optimistic here, can come together and play the way we hoped they would coming into this season. Now, that obviously has to do a lot with Tua Tagovailoa's play, but it also has to do a lot with guys staying healthy. Can Devontae Parker, can Preston Williams get on the damn field and play a game, dress for the game? Can Xavien Howard and Byron Jones be healthy? Because I maintain if those two guys were healthy, they probably don't lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I know the story that really overshadowed the worst loss maybe in Miami Dolphins football in a very long time was yet another Deshaun Watson trade rumor, and it came from John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Obviously, everybody's well aware of the trade rumors. I'll discuss it in the next segment because we can't just ignore it, right? We can't just ignore it. We'll do that next on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Plus, I'll have some injury updates again, as I mentioned earlier. And some roster updates as well from the Miami Dolphins in case you missed them yesterday. And we'll look ahead to the Falcons game coming up today at 1 p.m. Again, I'll remind you, coming up in less than an hour, 9 a.m., Kevin Rogers, Channing Crowder, they'll have your Miami Dolphins pregame show. That's Dolphins game day. And then again, kickoff at 1 p.m. More Dolphins Rewind next.
Let's get back to Dolphins Rewind on the Joe. Brought to you by Lexus, who encourages you to experience amazing.
Welcome back to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show here on 560 WQAM. What's up, everybody? It's Solana. Getting in your car. Maybe you're on your way to Hard Rock Stadium for your early tailgate. Maybe you're going to Publix to get some stuff. Glad you're here with us on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Coming up in less than an hour, you'll have Kevin Rogers and Channing Crowder with Dolphins game day. I'll lead you up until 9 a.m. here. And then, of course, you'll have kickoff at 1 p.m. here as the Miami Dolphins take on the 2-3 Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan coming in to Hard Rock Stadium to face off versus Tua Tagovailoa. We'll preview the game in just a couple of minutes. By the way, before we get into some of the Deshaun Watson stuff, I did want to fill you in not only on the injury report, but there were some Miami Dolphins roster moves yesterday. In case you missed them, the Dolphins tweeted them out. They've promoted Isaiah Ford. He's back to the active roster. They waived quarterback Reed Sinnott. So just a couple weeks ago, I know there was a lot of people campaigning for Reed Sinnott after how poorly Jacoby Brissett played. Now he won't even be on the roster. The Dolphins also tweet out that they've elevated center Cameron Tom to the active roster for Sunday's game. I'll have your injury report for you in just a couple of moments. Also, I was looking at the Dolphins Twitter account this morning just to make sure I didn't miss anything crucial, and they tweeted out all white everything for today's game. So the Dolphins will be wearing all white versus the Atlanta Falcons. No throwbacks. No throwbacks today. You guys know how much I love the throwbacks. But they will be wearing all white for those of you heading to the game. Pull out your white jerseys. Something really cool that happened, by the way, regarding the Miami Dolphins. It was probably the only cool thing to come out of the Dolphins' trip to London, because the Dolphins got their ass beat. I shouldn't say got their ass beat, but they lost to the worst team in the NFL. So overall, it was a pretty depressing London trip. But something pretty cool that came about it was, if you watch Ted Lasso, for those of you who are watching Ted Lasso, and I'm a huge fan of the show. If you haven't, I think it's on Apple TV, Jason Sudeikis. It's kind of a soccer show, but it's really just like this heartwarming sitcom. I don't know how else to put it for those of you who haven't seen it, but most of you have, because I think right now it's one of the most popular shows in the United States. Won a ton of Emmys a couple weeks ago as well. There's a character in the show, his name is, Isaac. I think his last name is McAdoo, but for sure it's Isaac. He's on the team that Ted Lasso coaches, and he was at the game rocking this like vintage badass Dolphins jacket. And there's a video of him that went viral amongst Dolphins Twitter where he's just cheering the Dolphins on. And he quote tweets the tweet. And this is after the Dolphins lose. And he goes, "This game had me heated," tags the Miami Dolphins, "at the Dolphins. Just know you got a fan for life. Hashtag fins up." So look, we got Isaac McAdoo on our side from Ted Lasso. And no matter what the Dolphins do, 1-5, 5 straight losses, lose to the worst team in the NFL. My guy Isaac jumping on the Dolphins bandwagon. Ride or die. You like to see that. So pretty cool there for those of you who are Ted Lasso fans. And I guess now we'll get into some of this Deshaun Watson stuff. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Everybody has their take. I get it. Everybody's cemented into the ground with their take. I wanted to get to something because I saw a text earlier about the Dolphins. So the Falcons coming into Hard Rock Stadium with a bye, right? Coming off a bye, and the Dolphins playing in London don't have a bye. I wanted to clear it up because the Dolphins don't have a bye because they didn't want it. The Dolphins, it was reported, asked for a bye week later this season. They asked for it from the NFL, and the NFL granted it. I read this from the Miami Herald. I think Daniel Yafusi wrote it in the Miami Herald. He covers the Miami Dolphins. He's their beat writer. All other teams who have played in London this season, the Falcons, who are here in Hard Rock Stadium today, the Jaguars, who the Dolphins played, and the New York Jets, who lost to the Falcons, they had byes following their games in the UK. According to the Associated Press, of the 60 times a team has traveled to play in a game in London, only 5 times has the team not had a bye week the following week. The last time this occurred, you ask? The Miami Herald writes, the Miami Dolphins in 2017 returning from a shutout loss to the New Orleans Saints. I don't know if this is Flores and or maybe Greer or whoever in the Dolphins getting a little cutesy, right? Because they thought this was going to be a very different season. They thought returning from London, this record wouldn't be 1-5. They thought it'd be a very different outlook hosting the Atlanta Falcons, who we knew were going to be bad coming into the season. And the Dolphins thought they could, you know, get away with traveling from London. Essentially, this turns out to be a short week for the Dolphins, if you really think about it. They lose half a day of sleep traveling back from London. Or maybe not. I don't think I got the time zones right there. But regardless, they fly from London all the way to Miami. It's a long-ass flight after you get your ass beat by Jacksonville. Can't imagine that's fun. And you lose that day of practice in Miami because of the lack of sleep after the game. So I just think it's a little cutesy there from Brian Flores. I didn't want to forget that, so I squeezed it in there. Back to the Deshaun Watson stuff. So here's the report. Here's a timeline of events from earlier this week. It was released like on Wednesday afternoon and, of course, dominated the conversation for the next couple of days. Even today, the Houston Chronicle reports that the Dolphins could complete a trade for Watson sometime this week. Now, NFL trade deadline is November 2nd. So, I mean, it all kind of makes sense that this report is coming up right now. And according to NFL reporter Aaron Wilson, the Texans continue to discuss a potential trade to the Dolphins and are, quote, maintaining hope of hammering out a deal. I'll remind you, the Houston Chronicle said that that deal could be done by the end of this week. Jeff Darlington, he was on Ryan Russillo's podcast. He said, quote, Deshaun Watson has only told the Texans he's willing to go to Miami. That's the only team he signed off on. I'll remind everybody, Deshaun Watson, he has a no-trade clause. So that's also something to keep in mind when you're talking about, you know, potential places or potential teams that may now, hearing the Dolphins are this close, according to reports, to getting a trade done. It could have been just this report leaked by the Texans to get other people involved as well. But according to Jeff Darlington, the Miami Dolphins are the only team Deshaun Watson has told the Texans he'd be willing to go to. Now, obviously, what cannot be overlooked here is that there's 22 massage therapists that have accused Deshaun Watson of sexual misconduct, and there are over 10 criminal complaints against Deshaun Watson. No charges have been filed, and the NFL is yet to suspend Deshaun Watson or place him on the commissioner's exempt list. So where does that leave us, right? Like, what questions need to be answered here? Will Deshaun Watson play football again? Do you want to trade for someone that may not be able to play football? That's a very strong possibility. And most importantly, do you want someone with 22 sexual misconduct accusations playing for your franchise? I can't answer any of those questions for you. And I'm glad I'm not the one that has to make this decision. I'm glad I'm not Chris Greer or Stephen Ross. And for the record, I still like Tua Tagovailoa as the quarterback for the Dolphins. I think he can be good, as I told you last segment, with the right pieces around him. But is Deshaun Watson a better quarterback? Yes. Period, point blank, he's a better quarterback. I'm not telling you that I want the Dolphins to trade for Deshaun Watson. I asked the question, which I said was the most important one. Do you want someone with 22 sexual misconduct accusations playing for your franchise? And my answer to that would be no. Ultimately, Stephen Ross will be the one making this decision. And I've seen a lot of people say, you know, this is Chris Greer trying to make his last-ditch effort to save his job. If you listen to Hawk and Crowder 2 to 6 p.m. Earlier this week here on QAM, they were really quick to shut this down. They opened my eyes to, like, the idea that Chris Greer is the one calling the shots here. Chris Greer trying to save his job. Things haven't gone right. And, you know, this is him doing whatever he can to prove that he's worthy as GM. Like, it's nonsense. It's total nonsense, because this isn't like a move that Chris Greer makes out of desperation. This type of trade for a guy who has this much baggage has tremendous consequences. Regardless if he ends up being charged or not, those accusations exist and those aren't going away. So this has to be coming straight from the top. That's Stephen Ross, period. Point blank, he's the owner of the team, and he's the one saying, if these reports are true, it's Stephen Ross. It's the owner of the team. He's saying, I want this guy. I want Deshaun Watson because he makes our football team immediately better, and he solves the issue that's plagued this franchise and, frankly, this owner's tenure as owner of the Dolphins, finding a franchise quarterback. But again, there's so much left to be learned as this legal process plays out, that does the reward outweigh the risk of everything that comes with that? Again, my answer to that, no. That was my answer. But everybody has their opinion on this. Everybody feels the way that they feel about this. And I'm not trying to convince you one way or another. It's just how I feel personally about it. Now, Safedin of USA Today Sports Plus, he joined Hockman and Crowder earlier this week on 560 WQAM. This was the day after the Deshaun Watson rumors, to talk to Hawk and Crowder, kind of get a feel for what the last 24 hours had been like since that first report from the Houston Chronicle dropped.
Guys, you know, the last 24 hours, I really look at it as Houston pulling out, you know, a little signal. They're putting out a bag signal. and they're telling the rest of the NFL, if you guys want Deshaun Watson, we got an offer on the table. We got an offer we're listening to, but now's the time to jump back in the mix here if you really want to get Deshaun Watson. And, you know, like you said, yesterday was 13 days. Today's 12 days till the trade deadline on November 2nd. And, you know, I don't know if this trade goes through, guys. I'll be honest. I think Deshaun Watson, he's not going to be approached by, you know, authorities to present his case and everything that's going on with him with the 22 sexual misconduct lawsuits, civil lawsuits, by the way, until next April. So we don't know if Deshaun Watson can play this season. You don't know how long or how much of a suspension he might face next year. You still don't know if jail time may be in or out of the question also. So, you know, for a team to make a move on Deshaun Watson like the Dolphins right now, you're trying to get ahead of the line in the offseason. You're trying to get ahead of the line before all his stuff is resolved, hopefully before the draft next year, where if Houston waits this out, they can drive the price up as high as they want to drive it when there's more clarity now. But the last 24 hours, I think Houston's pretty much done the whole NFL. If you have an offer, you guys want to make an offer to get him now while the price is relatively somewhat lower than what it would be because of everything hanging in the wind, now's the time to approach them.
And Safed, you said, like you said, the Texans have sent out the back signal, but they sent out the back signal early. This tie to the Dolphins have been since this summer. Why are the Dolphins always attached to the Deshaun Watson move? Did the Dolphins have something to do with that, or is it because Deshaun has said the Dolphins are a team he'd play for?
Yeah, it's Deshaun saying that. It's Deshaun having a no trade clause, so he ultimately has the final say and where he ends up. And if you're Deshaun Watson, why wouldn't you come and want to come and play in Miami, right? So that factor plays a huge deal into it. And also, you know, you have Tua Tagovailoa on the other side, who underwhelmed as a rookie the first year he played back since he broke his hip. And, you know, he's injured earlier this season, had a great game against Jacksonville. But, you know, he's an easy target to kind of peg this on as well if you're everybody else and the national media as well. So, and the Dolphins have not, you know, hid themselves from this conversation either. They're still talking to the Texans about him. Nick Caserio knows Brian Flores well. I'm sure they have a relationship with Chris Greer as well, too. So the conversations have been ongoing. The Texans and Watson have pretty much told everybody they don't want to, you know, be together anymore. That's been the case since the beginning of this year. Still been the case since Watson's allegations, you know, came to light in March. Try to get a trade before the draft. Obviously, nobody wanted to touch Watson, and people still have apprehensions of touching him now because of the fact that his, you know, allegations and lawsuits are hanging in the wind until maybe early next year. So I don't know if this gets done in 12 days. I don't know if, you know, a third team wants to jump in the mix for Tua, because now would be the time to go get him as well. But if you're the Dolphins, you're 1-5. I don't know why you make this trade this season. It's not like Deshaun Watson going to come in and play. You guys are going to go undefeated and still make the playoffs. I don't think that happens. And unless you want it for next year, you don't really know how much he's going to play next year, too. So it's just a risky move altogether for me.
That's the crazy part to me. Safed Dean from USA Today Sports Plus is with us. It is so risky football-wise because you don't know when he's going to be eligible to play, and you don't know if that eligibility is going to be revoked at any moment. And it's a risky move franchise-wise because you don't know what the public reaction is going to be if you go out. And it's one thing to have a guy already on your team that's accused of something. Well, he's already on your team. He's already on the payroll. You allow the legal process to play out. It's another thing to give away a ton of future assets in order to bring a guy in that's got all these lawsuits hanging over him, potentially criminal charges, but no criminal charges yet. The risk on this, I am so confused by why the Dolphins seemingly are continuing to pursue him.
I agree with you, Hawk, and I look at the Dolphins too, and I look at Chris Greer as somebody who's very, very against taking on a risky decision like this here. I mean, well, you know, and then where did Chris Greer and Brian Flores stand after this season too? I mean, look, there's still plenty of football to play here, and you know, let's say you do get Deshaun Watson, what do you do with Tua? Do you have Tua play the rest of the season with Deshaun out, and he's your lame duck quarterback? That's not a great move for Tua. Tua's already in a bad position the past year because of all these rumors And, you know, if you part ways with him, who do you have playing for the rest of the year? Jacoby Brissett? Do you tank the rest of the season away? What message does that send to the rest of the players? If you got Watson, he can't play, he doesn't know when you're going to play. You know, overall, this is a really, really big and risky decision the Dolphins have to make if they're going to make it. And they've continued to toss with the Texans. 12 days to the trade deadline. We'll see how this goes, guys. But so far from it, I would stay away.
That's Safa Dean there of USA Today Sports Plus. You should follow Safa Dean on Twitter if you don't already do so. He's really good at what he does. He is the NFL insider, again, for USA Today Sports Plus. He was on Hawk and Crowder earlier this week. They're talking about Deshaun Watson. Before we go to break and before we preview today's game, a 1 p.m. kickoff as the Dolphins host the Atlanta Falcons, I do want to play for you the portion of Friday's press conference where Brian Flores is finally asked about these Deshaun Watson rumors. He has been asked about this before. These rumors have surfaced throughout the season at different parts of the season. Brian Flores has been asked this question multiple times about the rumors. He always defers and defaults to he wants to focus on the guys in the locker room. He said many times in several different ways that Tua Tagovailoa is the guy and he has all the confidence in the world, and he kind of stuck with that answer again here. But there were a couple follow-up questions, which you're going to hear here from Omar Kelly of the Sun Sentinel and Joe Shad of the Palm Beach Post, which I thought were really good and fair questions regarding not only Tua Tagovailoa, but, you know, the locker room in general dealing with these trade rumors.
Ryan, I know you're saying that your focus is on Atlanta, but just the other elephant in the room, there are reports out of Houston that trade talks between you guys and the Texans for Deshaun Watson have started again or have continued this week. Is there any truth to that, or is there anything you can comment about that?
You know, I don't really get into rumors. Tua's our quarterback. We're happy with the quarterback, our quarterback situation. And, you know, I'll leave it at that, which, you know, we've said and I've said multiple times.
With this situation, a head coach's job and responsibility is to minimize distractions. Obviously, this thing has lingered for quite a while. Considering the team is on a 5-game losing streak, aren't you concerned about the distraction that this could potentially cause, not just for this Sunday, but for next Sunday before the trade deadline?
I really don't see it as a distraction. I think, you know, our players are kind of blocking out all the stuff that's going on outside of our building. That's what I've seen here in the building and meetings and practice. And, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our focus is on Atlanta, and that's really where our focus should be.
Specific to Tua, what are you doing, what are your coaches doing, what is the staff doing to try to ensure that the reports about continued trade discussions do not negatively impact his psyche?
I think his preparation, the way he practices, and the way he performs has been good. I thought he played very well last week. You know, he was out for a few games, and he came back and played, I thought, very well last week. So I think his psyche's in a good place. He's a confident kid. He's a tough kid. And really, he's played in 2 games this year. So he should have a lot of confidence in the way he's played. We have a lot of confidence in him because of the way he's played. And we just, you know, our focus is on, you know, Atlanta and trying to, you know, for him to play, you know, to play well again.
All right, we're only one segment away from Dolphins game day, and then week 7 officially takes off here on 560 WQAM. I'm Solana. We'll have one more segment of Dolphins Rewind. We'll preview today's game coming up next here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show.
Welcome back to Dolphins Rewind on the Joe. Brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing.
All right, final segment here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Almost time for Dolphins game day with Channing Crowder and Kevin Rogers. And then, of course, kickoff at 1 p.m. today from Hard Rock Stadium. You can hear it right here. Your home for the Miami Dolphins, 560 WQAM. I'll be at the stadium today with the broadcast crew. And I saw this tweet. I was just scrolling through Twitter here, and I saw this tweet from a buddy of mine. His name is Jesse at JTweets23. He tweeted last night, 12 a.m. Jesse tweeted this. "We've sucked, but it's still game day." With the little Dolphins emoji, fins up. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I'm feeling, right? This season hasn't been what we wanted it to be, but it's still game day. It's week seven. You can still make this season count. Maybe you can't make the playoffs. Who knows? You can still make this season count. And I'm looking forward to seeing Tua today. I'm looking forward to see how this team bounces back from one of the worst losses, truthfully, that I can remember in my lifetime as being a Miami Dolphins fan. I have your latest injury report. This was on Friday, and we're going to get the inactives later today, probably at around 9 or 10, maybe 11. But here was your last injury report on Friday. What was obviously concerning was Xavien Howard and Byron Jones. Limited in practice on Friday, and then officially listed as questionable. Devontae Parker, questionable as well. Preston Williams, questionable as well. And how about Jalen Phillips? Limited all week. He's questionable today as well. Greg Mance, he's questionable every week. And Noah Igbinoghene, he was placed on the injury report Friday, limited in practice, and questionable as well. So I don't know who's playing defensive back for the Dolphins today. Hey, Javon Holland, figure it out. Brandon Jones, figure it out. Malcolm Brown, he was limited, but on Friday, Tua Tagovailoa also limited. But all those guys expected to play today. Jacoby Brissett limited as well. All those guys expected to play. I read you there the questionables. Xavien Howard, Noah Igbinoghene, Byron Jones, Devontae Parker, again. Because if Devontae Parker's not on the injury report, it's not a Dolphins football game, right? It's just not a Dolphins football game. Five reasons the Dolphins should be concerned about the Falcons. I read this on Dolphins Wire. The first one, I'll read some of these here. The first one, I just read you the injury report. The first one here on this list, the Dolphins are dealing with a ton of injuries. So, goes without saying. The next one, Kyle Pitts presents a matchup problem. It reads, the rookie tight end was taken fourth overall. We know. Making him the highest drafted tight end in the history of the league. We know. He's fast and quick, just like a wide receiver. We know that as well. But tall and strong like a tight end. Yeah, we know. Sucks reading this. Miami will have two options to cover Pitts. Double cover him with a linebacker and a safety, or put a cornerback on him. Both of these options leave Josh Boyer's defense in a tough spot. And if Howard or Jones can't go, Pitts could be burning the secondary. Again, this is courtesy of the Dolphins Wire. Five reasons the Dolphins should be concerned about the Atlanta Falcons. The next one. They have been good at protecting Matt Ryan. Of all active quarterbacks, Ryan has been sacked the third most times at 481 sacks. However, this year the Falcons have been doing well keeping the quarterback off his back. Atlanta is allowing 1.5 sacks per game, which is good for 7th fewest averaged in the league. Unfortunately for Miami, they have been one of the worst teams at getting to the quarterback themselves. Their 1.8 sacks per game are tied for the 6th lowest average in the NFL. The last one I'll read for you here. Miami is still struggling to run the ball. The Falcons are 12th in the league in fewest rushing yards allowed. That's 108.2 per week. And while most teams wouldn't be dissuaded from running the ball against this team, the Dolphins have no reason to believe they can. In their Week 6 matchup with Jacksonville, who were ranked 20th against the run in the NFL, allowing 121.8 yards per game, the Dolphins only attempted 20 rushes for just 77 yards. After head coach Brian Flores and running back Malcolm Brown both mentioned that they should be running the ball more, it will be interesting to see if there's any commitment to that. Regarding running the ball more, I'd love to see it. I'm sure Malcolm Brown would love to get more touches, despite the fact that he can't convert a 4th-and-1 to save his life. But yeah, all of us would love to run the ball more. The problem is the Dolphins can't, and they haven't been able to do it consistently. And it's been one of the more really frustrating things about this offense. You saw Myles Gaskin get involved. Maybe it wasn't running the ball, but it certainly was effective versus Tampa Bay in that first half. And then we just don't see it again. We just don't see him being implemented in this offense. It's just one of those frustrating parts about this Dolphins offense where Preston Williams comes out of nowhere in that game against Tampa Bay. You get him involved early, and then he's nowhere to be seen. Jaylen Waddle, early involvement versus Jacksonville, and goes 2 quarters without a play being drawn up for him or a ball finding him. It's just one of these things that doesn't make any sense when you're watching the Miami Dolphins offense. Falcons are favored today in Miami by 2.5 points. Their last meeting was in 2017 in Atlanta. That was actually a game where Dolphins down 17-0 at halftime. They scored 20 unanswered. You're going to hear a little montage of that coming up if you're going to listen to Dolphins Game Day with Kevin Rogers and Channing Crowder. Falcons offense, they come in overall 20th in the NFL, 24th rushing in the NFL, 12th passing in the NFL. Credit to Matt Ryan. And they're tied 22nd in scoring. Their defense overall ranked 13th in the NFL, 12th ranked at defending the rush, 14th ranked defending the pass, and they're 31st in scoring. And I'll read you the Dolphins numbers here, even though it's not pretty. 30th overall in the NFL. They're 32nd in the NFL in rushing, dead last. 28th in passing and scoring, the Dolphins ranked 29th in the NFL. Their defense, 30th overall in the NFL. 22nd against the rush, ranked 29th against the pass, which is not good when you're going up against Matt Ryan. And scoring tied for 29th. Turnover differential, Falcons are -3, Dolphins -2. Not going to be an easy one today for the Miami Dolphins. Not going to be easy the rest of the way against any team that they face, but hopefully today they're able to figure it out and get a win. I would like to see a victory today at Hard Rock Stadium for this Miami Dolphins team and hopefully build off that momentum as we move forward, because it's not going to get any easier. Immediately next week, you have to travel to Buffalo on Halloween to face the Bills. Then it gets a little easier. Then the schedule lightens up a bit, but you face Matt Ryan, then you face Josh Allen. Probably not going to beat Josh Allen and the Bills in Buffalo after they've dropped 35 on you here in Miami. So you definitely want to win this one before you have to get on a plane and head to Buffalo. This has been the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show right here on 560 WQAM. I'll toss it over to Channing Crowder and Kevin Rogers as they'll have Dolphins game day. And then your kickoff is coming up at 1 p.m. later today. I appreciate everybody who tuned in today. I will be at Hard Rock Stadium hoping for a Dolphins dub, something we've only seen once this season, yet to see at home. Again, Dolphins Rewind Show, 8 a.m. every Sunday with me, Alejandro Solana. Follow me on Twitter at AlexMSolana. I will talk to you next week, hopefully after a Dolphins victory.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.